Hey guys, welcome to this next episode of the 210 Feet Podcast. I'm Colin Manning, once again joined by Robbie Knight, as we actually kind of surprisingly are watching Man United beat Liverpool right now 2-1. How is the game going for you, Robbie?
Yeah, I mean, it's the 83rd minute for right now, so it won't be for very long. But United, surprisingly, have actually looked organized. They've actually played with some gusto. They've actually played well. I think some could say surprisingly. So, they've been very strong in this match.
Yeah.
It hasn't really been a match where Liverpool has gotten anything out of it. I guess we will see in about 20 minutes when the match is over what the end result is,
for sure,
and everything like that. But I think, I don't know if we're to the point where Liverpool needs to start to be worried, but
yeah,
I think their chances at a Premier League title are kind of going to rest on what they do next week.
Yeah, for sure.
What they do next week, because they've now are looking at, as of right now, if this holds, they are looking at just 2 points off of their first three matches, which is certainly not ideal.
Yeah.
They do play Bournemouth, which maybe isn't necessarily going to be that difficult, but we will find out.
Yeah, for sure. I did hear something that last time Man United and Liverpool started with winless in their first three games, or maybe it was two games, that Liverpool won the title and Man United got third. So, I mean, there's definitely still time this season, but definitely not the way you want to start. For Liverpool fans, kind of scary. Obviously, they did have a bunch of people out injured or suspended, like Darwin Nunez. So, yeah, we'll just have to see where it goes. Manchester United, if I still understand how you lose 4-0 to Brentford and then beat Liverpool if they end up beating Liverpool, which honestly might not happen. But, yeah. So, we're actually going to start things off with a brand new segment for the show, and we haven't decided what we want to call this segment yet, but pretty much we're just going to go through and, like, talk about, like, the best things we saw this weekend, or the, like, moment of the weekend, I guess you could call it that, and, like, just we're each going to say, like, one quick thing that you saw. It could be in the Premier League, any league with United States soccer, so, yeah, I'll let you go first.
I think for me, it was probably Leeds 3-0 win over
over Chelsea.
I think absolutely far and away that was the moment of the weekend. It was not just a win. It was just kind of a complete domination for 90 minutes, no matter how Thomas Tuchel wants to put it. Because in the post-match interviews and everything, he's like, yeah, no, we were the better team. Our mistakes just kind of allowed
goals. They were
not. No. They were
I woke up to watch that game. It was so fun.
That was a match that I think Leeds dominated from whistle to whistle. The entire 90 minutes, it was full on from Leeds. And I think, you know, a massive goal from Brendan Aaronson, Tyler Adams had an absolutely massive match. Really on both sides. Able to make some attacks happen, able to be kind of a stronghold in the midfield, which is what you like to see from them.
Yes, exactly.
Them really becoming fan favorites in Leeds. And I think that's a massive 3-0 win for them. I think that's a massive 3-0 loss for Thomas Tuchel and for Chelsea. Christian Pulisic got more playing time yesterday than he has been getting.
That's true. That's true.
That's not really saying much.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think that was probably the best moment of the weekend.
Fair enough. Yeah, I would have to agree, but just because my Leeds jersey actually just came in the mail today. I'm super happy about it. Sick. But anyways, just to say something different, I'm going to move over to the MLS side. And my moment of the weekend is Philadelphia beating DC United 6-0. But between the two games that these two teams have played each other, Philadelphia has a combined goal, whatever, win 13-0. They've beat DC 7-0 and they've beat DC 6-0. So, yeah, I don't even know. DC's just bad. Even with Wayne Rooney, they're just bad.
Is it that DC is like that bad? Well, I mean, DC's not good. Like, let's be real here. They're
Yeah,
not a good team.
DC's
But is it that, or is it more like
Philly's that good.
Philly's that good? Are they a lot better than everybody kind of is giving them credit for? Because it's not that anybody's like saying they're bad, but are they going to be more of a contender than I think we thought?
Yeah, they're sitting at the top of the East right now, and they've had a great stretch in the past 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games. They've have 7 wins, which is absolutely absurd. And they've lost to Dallas, who was a strong opponent, and they lost to Cincinnati, which was that was a kind of shock win, kind of an off day for Philly, and then they tied Columbus. But yeah, I don't know. I think Philly is the they're sitting on, let's see, 51 points right now. That's only f five less than the LAFC is in the East, I believe. Yeah, no, they're at 57. They're 6 less off of LAFC in the East, which is still really good. They're 5 points clear of Montreal in the East. So yeah, I think that Philadelphia has pretty much locked up that first round bye in the playoffs, which once the playoffs get closer, we want to rant on that because I hate first round byes. I don't want my team to ever have a first round bye for many reasons, but oh, in any sport like football. Moving kind of along from Philly, the first team to clinch the MLS Cup playoff appearance is LAFC. So LAFC, obviously, we kind of saw this coming. Certainly, they're 9 points clear of everyone else in the West. Super powerful team. We want to rant about them yet. A few episodes ago about how they pretty much have two teams that they can put on the field and compete with anyone in the league. So LAFC, no, not many surprises there that the first to clinch a spot. Just a quick question. Do you think anyone, obviously they're going to probably win the Supporters Shield and get first round bye, right? Do you think that they are unbeatable, or do you think that they are like clear-cut favorites to win
I think I've
the
said
cup?
since kind of the beginning, I think that the playoffs, I mean, they're such a good team. They're such a good side. But I think I've said kind of from the beginning, they are, such a good team, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to just tear it up
Yeah, for
in
sure.
the playoffs. It could just be one bad match, and they're out.
Yeah.
It used to be you'd have a two-leg system where you have a couple of chances. If you mess up in one match and allow just a late goal,
Yeah.
you still have another chance. But now, I mean, if they just have one bad time, that's it.
Yeah.
They've only lost 5 matches this year.
Gee,
With that
that's
being
insane.
said, though, one to the Galaxy, one to Colorado, one to Austin, one to Vancouver, and one to San Jose. And I think for me, like you list some of those teams, 3 out of the 5 are probably going to be on the playoffs.
Yeah.
But with that being said, like I don't necessarily think that makes them immortal, not immortal,
Yeah.
unbeatable. Like, that doesn't mean that they're so much better heads above the rest of the
Yeah.
competition than you get in the playoffs. I think, they definitely have the ability, as they've shown, to make it through the Western Conference, where right now it looks like they're probably going to be going up against, say, one of the lower sides. They could go against a team like, Minnesota or Salt Lake,
Yeah.
both of which, they've shown they can beat. But I do think that that doesn't necessarily mean they will beat them. It could be, a semifinal, a conference semifinal against Minnesota that they end up losing. It could be
Yeah, for
a
sure.
conference final against Austin. It could be they just aren't able to do it against Philly. But I don't necessarily think that they are invincible.
Yeah.
I think they definitely are a lot better of a team than most teams in the MLS right now. But I certainly think that they could still,
Yeah.
that doesn't actually translate into MLS Cup.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of something that I've actually kind of thought about a little bit recently. Do you think the top team in MLS, so say LAFC right now, could compete for not getting relegated in the Premier League? Or do you think that LAFC, if they were thrown into the Premier League right now, that they would be a bottom three team?
Like, as they are right now?
Yeah.
Like you make no changes to the team?
Like, you just take LAFC and move them over to England.
They're getting sent down.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they would only compete with maybe, like, Bournemouth. Or, you know, there's only a select number of teams that they could compete with. I feel like, you know, maybe they could get the occasional point from some of the upper teams. But I don't necessarily think they will, over the course of the season, be able to show up and not be relegated. Like, I feel like they'd probably be bottom.
Do you think they could compete in the championship? So, or what, like, I'm trying to guess, I'm saying, where does MLS match up with the leagues in England? Or I mean, even I think in everybody Europe, has generally? Said,
everybody has seemed to say that MLS is probably, like, League One level for the longest time. Like, third-tier English football is kind of where the level of the league as a whole is at.
Yeah.
And you certainly have separate teams that could probably go and compete in higher levels.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's not saying that it's a bad league, but it's just like the actual
talent
talent level is about there, is what I've always heard it kind of explained as. Now, like, League One, like the whole of English football is a very physical game. Like, it's a very different style from the US. And so I think, you know, that's different. But I think on a whole, I feel like there are a lot of these teams that could probably compete in the championship.
Yeah.
Even a lot. Like, there's probably a handful.
Maybe like mid-tier championship.
Mid-tier, kind of lower half championship, maybe not getting relegated.
Yeah, but for sure.
Not fighting for a promotion, not going to win the FA Cup, anything like that. I think, though, for the most part, they're still probably kind of that upper half of League One.
Yeah.
I think they could probably compete maybe to stay up. Like, you throw LAFC, I think they can maybe compete to stay up in like the Bundesliga or League One over in France. But I think for the most part, like, just being totally honest, I don't think that LAFC, we've talked about, yes, they have absurd level of squad depth,
but yeah, for sure,
I don't necessarily think that translates to Premier League schedule squad depth.
Yeah, I agree with that. You could throw out like 1 in 5 years and they stay up in the Premier League. Like, I don't think that there would be a solid fit or like a solid stay in the Premier League either. I do think, however, they would be around that 6, 7, 8, like 6th or 10th spot, I guess in the championship. I feel like they could be somewhere in there. Especially with the talent they have now, I feel like with Gareth Bale and Chiellini and pieces like that, with the experience they have, before those pieces arrived, I don't feel like they would have been as good, I guess. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that they could very well compete to stay up in the championship and maybe even get close to fighting for one of the promotion playoff spots.
I mean, I think that they definitely became a lot better suited for this hypothetical situation during this summer.
Yeah.
And I think if they add, you know, some of the pieces that they're now again talking about adding.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Which, you know, we don't know if that's solid yet or not. I think I think they are a lot better suited for that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't necessarily think that just translates directly to like they'll stay up in the Premier League. Or they'll be fighting they'll be fighting for a chance at promotion.
Yeah. Fair enough. Kind of moving on from there, I want to quickly go through our winners and losers from the weekend. So I'll start off with my winner from the weekend. Oh, Man U held on
2-1. Everybody looks quite excited. Are the winners and losers from the MLS?
I guess anywhere. I was going to go off mine in the MLS, but
okay. I'll do MLS too then.
Okay. Sounds good. So my winner of the weekend in the MLS is Nashville. Nashville played at home against FC Dallas. They got a 4-0 result. Nashville has been horrendous at home this year, which is weird
because it's a brand new stadium, great atmosphere, except there weren't many people at the game against Dallas.
Well, yeah, did you see the pictures of the, like,
yeah,
there is nobody there.
Yeah, which is
from what I saw.
I hate it.
Not a single person.
It's so hard to tell at their stadium because all their seats are different colored, you know?
Well, that's the point.
Yeah, I know that's the point, but like, it, I just don't like it. I like seeing if there's no fans, I guess. But anyways, so they got a 4-0 win against Dallas, picked up a huge 3 points, bumped them back up into sixth place in the West. Yeah, Hani Mukhtar had 2 goals and an assist, I believe.
Something like that.
He's definitely still in the MVP race or Golden Boot race, whatever you want to say. Yeah, he has 16 goals, 6 assists right now. I think that's puts him in second for the Golden Boot race behind Jarusi. But yeah, it was a big win for Nashville, finally getting some points at home. I think that obviously their playoff spot is not secured yet. They're still sitting behind RSL and Minnesota. And then the Galaxy and Vancouver are right on their tails chasing them. So I don't know. It could be, well, I guess we'll have to see. But I just think if Nashville hadn't picked up those 3 points, then it would have been like, okay, push the panic button for Nashville fans.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that Nashville, like the quality they have, they deserve to be in the playoffs.
Exactly.
I think for sure. Like they are a playoff level team. But I don't necessarily know if they're going to be able to hold on because, I mean, my hope is at some point Seattle starts to get a streak of form.
Yeah.
That necessarily is going to happen, but it should be coming any day now. I don't necessarily think the Galaxy, I think it's going to end up being kind of a like 4-team race. Yeah. I think for the last 3 playoff spots, I think it's going to be RSL. I think it's going to be Nashville. I think it's going to be the Galaxy and Seattle. Vancouver's there.
Portland's kind of there.
Portland's kind of there.
Colorado.
Colorado could be there. I think that's kind of that's the end of the list. Unless
then there's a big miracle. Drop.
I definitely think Nashville should be, they are one of the top 7 teams in my mind in the West.
Yeah.
I think you look at the kind of number of players that they have that are very good. Mukhtar has had a phenomenal season. They have a, you know, U.S. men's national team starting center back and
yeah. Marcus
Zimmerman. I think they are such a good, they are a great team. They do have 2 matches in hand, or actually they have played 2 matches more than the Galaxy though.
Oh.
And a match more than Seattle. So I think
okay.
They played 27, Seattle and RSL okay. played 26, and LA has played 25. So I think that is
all right. Yeah,
kind of. I mean, on points per game, 7th. So I guess, I mean, technically, they're probably. I think they're gonna stay in there.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
The only team. I think that the Galaxy, honestly, if I see any of the 7 playoff teams in the West right now, like just completely falling off the face of the earth, I think it's the Galaxy.
Yeah.
But
except
I think
they did just sign. They did just sign Ricky Puig from Barcelona. But we can talk about that later.
That's true. But I think just like LAFC, it's been a ride,
yeah.
Right? Over the past couple of years, they've just missed the playoffs time and time again. Just a very close, slim margin of
yeah, for sure.
Right. And I was watching. I was only able to watch like the first 15 minutes of Seattle's match versus the Galaxy on Friday night. But they were talking about on the broadcast. You know, Greg Vanney is now in a position where if he does not make the playoffs, he's not going to have a job.
Yeah.
Because this is it really is the LA Galaxy. Like, this is probably top 3 best known clubs
yeah.
in the world from the US. This is,
yeah, exactly.
You know, an original team. This is probably the highest market. Like, this is
highest market. Yeah.
The highest, biggest market. I mean, either that or New York.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, this is a team that's kind of the marquee team for the MLS. And
yeah.
You kind of have that expectation where as much as we don't like it, they should make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? They are like the, I think personally, this may not be my belief, but like I think they are probably the marquee MLS team.
Yeah,
like they
for
are
sure.
The most like well, MLS no. side of them all, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Internationally. And so
Yeah.
You know, Greg Vaney, there is a massive, you know, kind of weight on his shoulders, I guess I should say.
Yeah,
where
for sure.
if he doesn't pull this off, it kind of just all goes down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, supporters expect winning records, expect playoff berths.
And now you're competing with LAFC for popularity in LA as well.
And you're not even the biggest club in your own city.
Yeah.
I think the Galaxy are certainly in need of a playoff berth.
Yeah, I agree with that. The Galaxy, before LAFC came in, they were the big name. They got the likes of David Beckham, Steven mm-hmm. Gerrard, you know, all of these big names. And they were kind of the ones who, like, helped almost grow MLS, I'd say. And
Zlatan.
Yeah, Zlatan helped take them to the next level of until LAFC kind of came in and took that over. So the Galaxy, to be a Galaxy fan right now, honestly, I wonder how many Galaxy fans became LAFC fans, first of all. But to be a Galaxy fan, I would not be happy right now that, yeah, we're struggling for competition within our own city. I don't think many people are going to their games, especially compared to LAFC. Their culture has kind of like fizzled out almost, I'd say. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just seems rough to be a Galaxy fan. But on the other hand, you look at it and you're like, how did the Galaxy not make the playoffs? They have so much talent. But honestly, I look at every team sitting right near ourselves. I'm like, oh, we're not going to make the playoffs. And I'm pretty sure every team does that to themselves. You know what I say? What I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because they only pay attention and then you see all the flaws of your own team. So, yeah, I don't know. But to be the Galaxy right now, I feel like it would kind of suck. But they're still holding on to the seventh spot in the playoffs right now.
They have two games in hand over
exactly
Vancouver and eight. They have a game in hand over Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think like the alarm bell should be ringing for them at all. I just think if there's any team that I see out of this top seven completely crashing out, I think it is LAFC. I mean, and they're only in the playoffs, right?
The Galaxy.
Or not LAFC, the Galaxy. The Galaxy. And they're only in the playoffs right now, technically speaking, on points per game, just because they have 34 points the same amount as Vancouver, but they played two matches less.
Yeah.
So they have an extra 10th point per game. I think that they'll probably still hold on and make it.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think it'll be a bit nervy.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of moving over to the Eastern Conference, pretty much any team can make the playoffs except DC. That's where I'm standing right now. Columbus is on 35 points in seventh place, and Atlanta is on 30 points in 13th place, and then DC is at 22. But that's where I'm at. Any team can fight for those last three spots. I think, yeah, we talked about this last week or 2 weeks ago. New York Red Bulls, NYCFC, Montreal, and Philly have the top four secured. I mean, I'd make a bet, but Orlando, Inter Miami, Columbus, New England, Cincinnati, Charlotte, Toronto, Chicago, and Atlanta are all within 5 points of each other or 6 points of each other, which is absolutely insane. So I know we talked about this a few weeks ago, but just quickly, which team will make the playoffs out of all however many I just said?
I really think that three of the six teams that are in the playoffs right now, you know, DC United, we're not even talking about them.
Yeah.
But three of the six teams that aren't in the playoffs right now, it personally have the quality and have the ability to make a run in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe even four. I think Cincinnati for sure. You know, Brandon Vasquez, they've had such a like rebirth this year, I guess.
Yeah.
After Wooden Spoon. And now they're just a point back to the playoffs and they look good, I think.
Yeah, they haven't lost in their last five. Granted, they've drew four of them, but
well, but you know,
you haven't lost
point to point at this point.
Yeah.
Charlotte, I think possibly Like, I think they've been a surprising team, kind of. I think this is kind of where everybody thought they would be, position-wise. Like, they would be, you know, maybe not bottom, but, like, they're not probably going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But you look at, like, points. Like, they are right in there in this battle for the last couple of playoff spots.
Yeah, for
sure.
They really
are. And do they have the quality to hold on? I don't really know. but we'll certainly find out. I think Toronto has a chance.
Yeah, I think.
I keep going back to when they played the Sounders and they looked like absolute garbage. And now they could very possibly be top five teams in the East.
For sure.
If they can make the playoffs, they could make a run at the MLS Cup as long as they don't have to play Philadelphia. So I really, and then you have Atlanta, which I think Atlanta just is such a good, it's a talented side.
Yeah.
That just, you can't really count them out.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. If I had to go with it, I think Inter Miami is going to stay up there. I think it'll be Inter Miami. I think Toronto, honestly, I just feel like Toronto is going to make a playoff push at the end. I think that if they get into the playoffs, then they're going to make a run in the playoffs, or they're just going to completely fall off these last few games of the season. But I think Toronto makes the playoffs with Inter Miami. And I think Columbus is that third team who makes the playoffs. They've made some improvements this over the summer transfer window. So I think Orlando falls out and then Toronto kind of jumps in there. And unfortunately, I think New England barely misses out on decision day, unfortunately, because they broke the points record last year. And they've just kind of had, like, I guess, like a cursed year, you could say. I don't even know.
I think, I think that is kind of a disappointing stance. But the team has changed. Not a ton, but it has changed enough. It just lacks that same kind of level that it had last year. Do you think... What order do you think those three teams will end up being in? Do you think it'll be Toronto, Miami, Columbus?
I think it'll be Columbus, Miami, Toronto. So I think Columbus jumps up to fifth, and then Miami stays where they are, and Toronto hangs on to that last spot.
I mean, Toronto just has to make up 5 points. True. But they have a while to do it. I think this is hard. I think Cincinnati makes it. I don't think Orlando or Miami make it. I think it's going to end up being Columbus, Cincinnati, Toronto, I think is what it's going to be. And
both teams from Ohio.
I think Cincinnati, I think Cincinnati is just going to find a way. Like, I don't necessarily think that they are going to make waves in the playoffs. Like, I don't think they're necessarily probably going to just – like go out and win the MLS Cup. But I think Brendan Vasquez has been so good.
Yeah.
They've re-signed him for a new deal.
Yep. Just saw that.
Like today they re-signed him for a new deal. They are a team that is, I guess as you said, somewhat in form. They have the last loss they had at Columbus 2-0. They beat Philadelphia, which was kind of an off day really. They drew 4-4 against Miami, which I guess, that's kind of a match that if you're going to make the playoffs, that's easy points that you can gain on your opposition. They need to win more than they draw because you look back to June 29th, since they drew against NYCFC, they have only won one match. They've lost one and they tied all the rest. Which is 1-2-3. Is that 10 straight matches where they, in their last 10, they've drawn 8 of their last 10 matches.
Oh my gosh.
Think is they're gonna have to start making a point.
For sure. It must be boring to be a Cincinnati fan, but
must be kind of boring to be a Cincinnati fan. But at some point, they're going to have to, if they can find a way just start actually like getting wins, I think they're in.
Yeah, for sure. I think that they definitely have a shot. I think they're a year out of making it in still. I think they could easily make it in next year or the year after that. I think they'll get close this year, but I don't quite think they'll make it. But yeah, I guess we'll have to see. They play Columbus this weekend. So the Battle of Ohio, or isn't there a name for that? I don't know what it's called.
I think, is it?
So
I know there's like, there's one, it has a couple of different names. I think one is like, it's named after an interstate. And the other one is, I think like it's the Hell is Real Derby or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's, wait, is Rivalry Week this week again? Because Seattle plays Portland.
We do.
Yeah. You play Portland on Friday.
Oh, I didn't know that. There you go. Well, and I don't think,
Cincinnati and Columbus. I guess none of the other ones are really.
Do you guys play that? Well, I mean, if you guys play Denver, then it's Rivalry Week. You know,
we play Dallas.
RSL in Denver is the biggest rivalry in the land.
Oh yeah, RSL.
What a
Colorado. What a, oh yeah,
years. I mean, that is, that just tops them all.
Never any controversy there. Okay. Anyways. Another game to kind of look out for this weekend is Austin FC and LAFC.
I was just about to point that out.
This is like the best Friday of soccer because nowhere else has soccer on Friday. But this might be the best Friday of soccer that we'll get. Austin FC and LAFC at 6, and then Portland and Seattle at 8. That's just like 4 straight hours of great soccer, hopefully.
Do we... I'm going to have to clear my schedule. I know. I was
It's on ESPN, and they're both ESPN on ESPN.
And ESPN everything.
ESPN.
Just go to ESPN.
Yes, for sure. So that, those will be games to look out for. Yeah.
There you go.
Fire.
Anything else on the MLS front that we really need to dive on into?
I don't, not that I am seeing or thinking of. I think we covered most of MLS this weekend and most of MLS for the future.
I think so. Now I guess we can move on to USMNT abroad. It was a good weekend. For the United
States. It was a very good weekend.
He was absolutely massive. We already talked about Leeds and their big 3-0 win over their big 3-0 lead over Chelsea. Good Lord.
Yes.
Their 3-0 lead over Chelsea. And really, I think not only how massive that was for Leeds as a club, but I think it was possibly big for the United States Soccer Federation in England, or the U.S. players and managers and everybody in England in the Premier League. First time a U.S. men's national team player has ever scored under a United States or American manager.
Yeah, that's it. In the Premier League?
In the Premier League. So I guess that's fire. There.
Yeah.
It was kind of a big match. You look at Brendan Aaronson, he in his 82 minutes on the pitch, 1 goal, 2 shots, both on target.
Yes, sir.
Absolute legend. He just tore it up. Christian Pulisic also in the same match for Chelsea saw 27 minutes, which I am pretty certain. Let me check on this. Is the most he has played for Chelsea in
all
a
season?
Hot minute.
Yeah,
like not even all season, like for a while. While I am working on that, Tyler Adams also played. He was man of the match for Leeds.
Yes, sir.
As voted by the Leeds fans.
Which
out of the first 3 matches, Brendan Aaronson and Tyler Adams have both been voted by Leeds fans on social media as man of the match. So they're already beloved by them.
I know, that's crazy.
That is the most minutes that Christian Pulisic has played, 27 so far in the Premier League season. He played 26 against Chelsea.
Against Everton.
Against Everton.
He played seven
against Tottenham.
Yeah. And then he played half of all of the friendlies. And the last time he played a full game was against El Salvador in Nations League Group A. That's the last time he played a full game.
I'm not even sure we can call that a game.
That was just running around in circles. But he played against Uruguay the full 90 as well. And last time, I'm going to try to find, last time he played a full game for club was in the FA Cup against Liverpool. He played 105 minutes. And then in actual league play on May 7th against Wolves, he played the full 90.
So it's been entirely too long is really what I'm hearing. There was rumors. It was like, when did we last film? Tuesday? So it would have been, I think, Wednesday morning that there were rumors linking Pulisic to Manchester United and the fact that, you know, he might go there in a swap deal with, was it Harry Maguire?
Yeah. Or something like that.
Bizarre. Very weird. Anyway, ended up not happening. Because now Thomas Tuchel is saying that he's not letting him move. Tuchel has said that Pulisic is no longer up to be moved this summer, which is, I don't think, a good thing for Pulisic's career as a whole. He's only had a combined 28 touches so far in 60 Premier League minutes. And I don't think he's probably going to be getting much more match time.
For sure.
Tuchel has let known that he really is not necessarily welcome in his side.
Which doesn't make sense if he doesn't want to move. But
Which doesn't... Does he have a vendetta against Pulisic?
I don't know. Or
against Americans in general? Like,
yeah, he refused to say that Chelsea was worse than Leeds.
Like, I don't understand what the man's deal is.
I don't either.
Like, I just... It was a complete... They just got completely outplayed, and now he's like, yeah, no. I don't understand what Thomas Tuchel is doing, because Chelsea has kind of, over the past couple of years, like, they won the Champions League. Last year, they were kind of expected to fight for the title with Romelu Lukaku. Never looked it. They sent him back after paying $100 million for him. They sent him back for free. Like an Amazon return. Back to Inter. And now they've brought in Raheem Sterling. Yet again, another attacking player, add him to the list. Like, it's becoming an extensive list of attacking players who just are not working under Thomas Tuchel at Chelsea, which I think is not a number nine curse necessarily, but it's more a Thomas Tuchel cannot figure out for the life of him how to use his attacking players correctly.
Facts. I agree.
I think that's about what it is.
I agree with that. I also feel like, though, for Pulisic, it might be a positive thing that he doesn't move before the World Cup. This is where, we've talked about this before. Do you want Pulisic to move before the World Cup and get more playing time so he's fresh, or do you want him to stay bundled up and healthy? Because I know he's very injury prone. Personally, I would be fine with him staying at Chelsea right now until the World Cup, because I could see him going to Chelsea. I mean, going to the World Cup, my bad. Having, hopefully for us and himself and the future of his career, having a great tournament. And then you come back either in the January transfer window or next year summer transfer window, and you're able to make that move that will take you to a bigger club. Maybe not even in the Premier League, even though I could see him going somewhere like Juventus or something like that, where it's still a good team. Where
he's wanted at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, a lot of U.S. players have been unwanted. I you could say, other than like, I mean, you look at Sergiño Dest as well at Barcelona, and it's kind of like he wasn't injured or anything. Was it this past weekend or 2 weekends ago or something? And they just sent him to the stands, and he wasn't even on the roster. And like, I don't know what they have against Destin.
I mean, he's just like Pulisic. I mean, he's kind of been told directly, like, he does not really have a role here. I mean, Pulisic hasn't been told straight up, like, yeah, there's no space for you here. Like, Dest has for no apparent reason, really.
Yeah, as soon as they signed him, they thought that, apparently.
I don't understand it.
Me neither. I do not understand. I could see Dest hopefully making a move by the time the World Cup happens. Hopefully somewhere like, he's also been linked to Man U, but who hasn't been linked to Man U at this point? yeah, I could see Dest. I think Manchester United wouldn't be a bad place for him to go. I don't think it would be a great place for him to go either. I also think that, I don't know, hasn't he also been linked with Juventus? I'm just not sure. I don't know, where the best
United. I think, I mean, in his case, there's not much. He's trying to hop ahead of anybody. Like, Barcelona doesn't have an excess of left backs as far as I, or right backs. He plays right backs as far as I know. And so I'm kind of struggling. I think it's more just Xavi just doesn't want to work him in, which,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Like, what is stopping, I guess, Pulisic and Dest, and there's, you could probably throw out a couple of other names, from getting playing time. Weston McKennie's getting great playing time. He started again today for Juventus.
Yeah.
In Serie A. And so I don't fully understand, like, what is it, like, an American thing? Is it they do not have room? They do not have a position? Because that, I think, is kind of a BS reason, because everybody and their dog can see there's room for Dest on that roster. There's room for Pulisic on the Chelsea roster. So I think, I mean, I don't understand, like, why, what's stopping them from getting solid playing time.
Yeah, I have yet to figure that out myself. I'm trying to think of any other Americans who haven't been getting amazing playing time, but, or if this is just a common trend between Dest and Pulisic. I mean,
so McKennie, I guess for ones in Europe, like, you have McKennie is the main one who I keep coming back to. Luca De La Torre is slowly being worked in. Celta Vito, which I guess, like, they're not just going to throw him straight in there.
Yeah, for sure. Sustainable.
Yunus Musa is taking on a pivotal role at Valencia, for sure.
Haji Wright.
CCV, he played 90 again for Celtic against Hearts in the Scottish Premiership this weekend. Haji Wright is getting more and more time and is making more and more of those opportunities.
Yep.
Who else is there?
Ricardo. Oh, Malik Tillman. He's been playing very good.
He's been playing rather good at Rangers. Luca De La Torre saw 4 minutes, but he'll kind of slowly be worked in.
Gio Reyna,
after his big transfer.
Coming back from injury.
Coming back from injury, which is kind of, you want him to slowly get more time. You don't necessarily need him to be thrown in right away.
Yeah.
Matt Turner is certainly lacking minutes, but that was a concern before he got there.
Anthony Robinson Pepe, is.
I think there's massive questions about Ricardo Pepe. Is it going to take a couple of years, like another year for him to kind of really break in at Augsburg? For him to really break in, start getting minutes, start playing well again. Ethan Horvath got 90, as he should. I mean, you move the keepers in and out that often. Zach Steffen allowed yet another goal this weekend. So tough run. I think the team that we aren't, for some reason, anointing as USA in the Premier League, Fulham. Anthony Robinson and Tim Ream both saw 90 minutes in Fulham's 3-2 win of Brentford on the weekend.
Yeah.
James Sand, who is also at Rangers, got 90 minutes. Malik Tillman saw no playing time this weekend. but he has seen. Like, I think this might have just been an off weekend for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Who else is there? Eric Palmer Brown saw 90. Joe Scally saw 90. Josh Sargent is kind of slowly, finally.
Finally.
He saw 2 goals in 85 minutes against Millwall. So he maybe is actually a thing. I think that was his 3rd this week. I think he saw one maybe Carabao Cup.
Yeah. I think so.
Carabao Cup like on Tuesday. I think that's about the list of US players who have seen massive playing time.
Yeah. So someone needs to knock
through there.
Thomas Tuchel and Barcelona into place.
I think Thomas Tuchel just needs to be put in his place, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Like, I think he is not far from just not having a job, would be my personal opinion.
Yeah, because for sure.
I don't know. I think
there's a lot especially with the post-match antics against.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, he's an all right manager, but I don't think he's the man for Chelsea, is my thing. And if he's not going to use Christian Pulisic, get Pulisic out of there. I think he's too good of a player. And this is what I've said before when we had this conversation. He's too good of a player, even though, yes, he does get injured quite often. He's too good of a player to just sit on the bench.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. Also, I just realized that the jersey I'm wearing, which was Man United's like pre-match training top, looks very, very, very similar to the United States kit for.
And
it has it. It's blue with like either darker blue or black splashes of tie dye or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, this looks like. What's going to be United States jersey most likely first year, which is kind of sad that they're facing it off Man U training top. All right,
let me see training top. Let's find ourselves a year here. In my
maybe it says research. Just it's look up blue.
This is the stuff I do for fun.
Maybe it'll say on the tag.
Probably 1920 is, I think.
This isn't from 1920. Oh, this is the For the Oceans one.
Oh.
Look up that. Man United For the Oceans.
United For the Oceans.
Yeah.
Is it a? That's not what it is, though. Because they're For the Oceans kit. Or at least they're like. That has the Chevy logo on the front. I'm pretty sure, in my good internet research, that is the Manchester United, if I can type.
Oh, United, I found it.
1920.
No, it's a pre-match call.
I told you. Yep, I found that exact same picture, and you told me no.
What's it from?
It's just a 1920 pre-match shirt.
Oh, this is from 1920?
Mm-hmm.
Did they just, like, make it again for fun?
When?
I don't know, because I haven't had this since 1920, and this seems nicer than 1920.
Well,
it says this 2020. This one says 2020.
Yeah. So you probably got it like COVID.
Oh, yeah. It's probably just like from 1920 and then they wore it again in 2020 because it's 100 years or whatever.
You probably found it on clearance.
Yeah, I did on Fanatics.
See, I told you. It was probably on clearance like last fall.
Probably.
We're so good at this podcasting, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I think we're both tired. Alrighty. School starts tomorrow.
I don't want to go.
Same. It's okay. We start off with a bang with broadcasting.
Absolutely. I guess we can go to our weekly Premier League recap.
Sounds good.
Let me finish my notes.
All right, finish your
Alrighty.
Research on that.
Yeah. Well, this is so I can find stuff. Like, I'm listing what we do in order so that I can find it easier.
Sounds good.
Big results in the Premier League this weekend. Saturday was fairly casual. Like, not a ton of big things happened, in all honesty. Where you had Tottenham 1-0 over Wolves, Southampton 2-1, which I guess is kind of a bigger result over Leicester. Crystal Palace 1-1 over Villa. No, 3-1 over Villa. My apologies. Nottingham and Everton 1-1, which is kind of an understandable result.
Yeah.
Brentford 3-2 for Fulham, who I personally believe are probably, like, going to be very middle of the table.
Yeah.
Even though everybody is saying that, no, they're going to get relegated. No, I don't think they're going to
get relegated. Everyone says everyone's going to get relegated. I
And then Arsenal 3-0 over Bournemouth. And Arsenal, 3 wins in 3 matches, just like that. Arsenal are now in the lead of the league, up by 2 points over
City and Leeds.
Over City, Leeds, Tottenham,
yeah,
and Brighton are all sitting, I guess, for a tie in second, kind of, all on 7 points, heading into a massive weekend. Some other results. Sunday is kind of where it went just full Premier League, and it just went complete wild.
Yeah.
How do I go to the week before? I want results. Oh, okay. We talked about Leeds 3-0 over Chelsea. Chelsea needs to get the poop in a group rather quickly. Brighton 2-0 over West Ham. West Ham also needs to get their poop in a group rather quickly.
Yes.
West Ham.
Seems legit.
I don't even think they've scored a goal yet this year.
Yeah, no, they haven't. Man U fans were celebrating that they weren't last for once for a sec.
Maybe because West Ham
hasn't scored a goal.
A lot worse than I think they should be.
Yeah.
And Man City dropped points. The machine that we have talked about time and time again is, you know, they're just going to walk through everybody.
Yeah.
3-3 against Newcastle in a match that they almost did not win. They were down 3-1 at a point. After 54 minutes, they were down 3-1 to Newcastle and then proceeded to storm back with a 61st minute goal from Erling Haaland,
yeah,
and a 64th minute goal from Bernardo Silva to,
yes,
close out what was a bit of a feisty affair.
Yeah, I watched
James's Park.
I watched the last like 20 minutes of that game, and it was definitely feisty, to say the least, just back and forth. The game was wide open. I was just waiting for another goal, but it didn't come. So, yeah, Man City, I don't think they should be worried about dropping this 1 point. It's going to happen throughout the season. I feel like they're still favorites to win the league easily. I thought it was going to be Man City, Liverpool race again, but I feel like City are clearly the best team in the league right now. Arsenal has started out really strong, but I don't know if they have the depth and the I guess they I play a talent. I don't think they just have the depth and like to compete with City. So yeah, I think City are still favorites to win the league. And props to Arsenal though for starting 3 wins in 3 games.
I think I totally agree with you. I think that I was originally thinking that it was gonna be like City, Liverpool, kind of somewhat large drop off to then what was gonna be a battle between Chelsea, between 3 London teams and Chelsea, Arsenal, and Tottenham in whatever order you feel like. And then United probably in 6. I think that has kind of changed. One, because Chelsea is nowhere to be seen. And two, because Liverpool is also nowhere to be seen. You look right now, Liverpool 16th on 2 points. Chelsea at least have a win under their belt.
Yeah.
So I think that I think
I don't know. Yeah,
probably City, somewhat big gap. Arsenal, somewhat, some level of a gap to Tottenham. And then it's probably going to even out where, like, I think it's going to shake out. We're probably going to see Liverpool and United and Chelsea maybe float a little bit more towards the top. But yeah. I think now out of this pack, like, I really think it might now be, and I realize, I mean, this is, we're just jumping to absolute conclusions here.
Yeah.
This one match from United, but I think we could see, you know, United challenge fourth again.
Yeah.
This absolute wild scenario where they could possibly, again,
make the Champions League.
One match, they could maybe make the Champions League. They could maybe push ahead of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Especially where Liverpool has, I mean, Liverpool plays Brentford. Manchester United plays Southampton next week.
Watch Liverpool like beat Brentford 5-0. Then everything would not make sense in the world.
I don't know what Liverpool's deal is. Like,
I don't know either.
I honestly
don't know what Man U's deal is. So.
Nobody knows what Man U doesn't know what they are yet.
Yeah.
Well, intrigued. Like, I think. Okay. Let's do one thing real quick.
Okay.
You have the table in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to. So we think City's going to win the league flat out, right?
Yeah. City's going to win the league for the third straight year. Unfortunately.
Right, absolutely. Yes. Out of the teams in the top, I guess, top seven currently are the European spots. Which of those seven teams do you see holding on and staying in the top seven by the time we're done?
Like, besides Arsenal and Tottenham?
So we all know City. So the other six, which of the other six teams do you see staying in the top seven and clinching a European spot for next year?
I think Tottenham and Arsenal will clinch European spots. I think that Newcastle will be in the fight for European spots. I don't know if they'll finish there. Unfortunately, I don't think Leeds are going to stay third place. It's just how it is. I don't know. I think Leeds can finish mid-table, and I'll be happy. But, yeah, I think the really only ones who I would say, like, I would feel confident saying they finish top six or seven are Arsenal, Tottenham, and Man City.
I agree. I think those are the only three I feel confident with saying. I think they're both probably going to end up in the Champions League.
Yeah.
The one I'm kind of confused and, like, not sure where to put is Brighton.
Yeah.
Right now on fifth, 7 points. They have two wins in their first three matches, but they've both been against, I think we can say, bad teams.
Yeah.
First one against United. Second one against West Ham, and their draw against Newcastle. Yeah. So I think I'm perplexed as to where I think they now, like, they play against Leeds, which I think for both teams is a winnable game. I think that's probably going to end up being, like, just a dead heat of entertainment.
Yeah, especially how Leeds plays.
but I think I'm just like, where are Brighton in that fight? Like, they sold their two best players, but now they somehow maybe look better, possibly.
Yeah.
And they have a run of their next four games that are all potentially winnable.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
they play Leeds, they play Fulham, they play Leicester, and they play Bournemouth. All four I could see them winning, but I could also see them losing three out of the four.
Yeah. That's the thing with those mid-table teams that could finish in the European spots. It's hard because one day they could win. It's just not as consistent because they don't have the depth that some of these bigger clubs do. But overall, I'm Man City, Arsenal, Tottenham. I think Chelsea and Liverpool will finish in the top five as well. And I think you can also throw in Man United probably, and then maybe Newcastle, or maybe Newcastle will be right there too. I don't know if you can put them on that level yet, though. But with how they played against Man City, I don't know. Even though they lost to Brentford. Maybe Brentford will win. Who knows?
Are you thinking, like, Leeds, I think we've both said, is probably mid-table. Are they going to even be pushing closer to 7th, or are they going to be closer to, like, 11th, kind of with Crystal Palace by the time we're done?
Let's
or see. Even next week.
Leeds? Like, where are they going to sit at the end of the year?
I think they'll be...
Maybe more fighting for that UECL spot in 7th, or are they going to be kind of...
I think they'll be more 10th, 11th. 10th, 11th, around there.
Yeah. I think they continue this form. I mean, they're going to be... I don't know. They haven't really... I think Chelsea was the biggest challenge they've faced so far, for sure.
Yeah. But
that's also... Chelsea, I think, is much more in shambles than any of the other three big six clubs are. Man, I feel like their problems are more confusing than Liverpool and United, because United, everybody knows what they are. Like, it's nobody knows just kind of what the correct way to go about it is.
Yeah.
Liverpool just needs to pull out games, I think, at this point. And Chelsea, it's kind of just like, what's going on?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree with that. I guess we'll have to kind of see where that ends up, and maybe we can do like a mid-season recap of the season, see where everyone stands, because I feel like you can't really tell until like 10 weeks in or something like that what the trends are going to be like and whatnot. But maybe Leeds will still be undefeated in there in the next 10 games. So hopefully that's the case. And yeah, for real.
They have a rather, like, they play in their next four, they play Brighton, Everton, Brentford, and Nottingham Forest. So I think they have a chance.
They do have a chance, definitely. Hopefully that's still the case, and hopefully I'll be able to watch some of the games and get myself out of bed. But yeah, I think that is going to actually wrap stuff up for today. So thank you guys for all listening, and we shall talk to you next week. Adios.